Thank you, Pastor Brandon, for the reading of the scripture. Thank you for following along. I have some material here that Bob Good left, and so I'll just place it right here up front, and if you'd like to get it before you leave tonight, you can do so. Just some things about him as a person and his campaign, and so if you'd like to do that, I ask him to leave what he had left there for those of you who were not able to stay behind this morning. Well, the Lord's laid some things on my heart. Tonight I have a message. Now, sometimes I prepare sermons, and I've heard people say negative things about sermons. I don't have anything negative to say about a sermon. But tonight I don't have a sermon. I have a message. And I'm going to get into it in just a moment. I've been struggling a little bit. And I sense that maybe, you know, I try to keep my hand on the pulse of the church as the pastor. I don't have drones flying over your house or anything, so relax. Don't get, you know. Don't get nervous, but I sense that the church is just maybe a little discouraged or going through, there's people fighting battles, and you know, we're always fighting battles, aren't we? We're always fighting battles, and if we're not careful, what'll happen is we'll think, you know what, and I'm not going to name a name or a family, but this family, they sure do have it good while I struggle, or this family, they sure do seem to have everything going on while I have very little going on, and that's just not the case, brother. Now, I want you to listen to me. Everyone fights battles. See, the battle you're fighting now, someone else has probably fought or is fighting. All right? I want you to understand that. And we all go through valleys. We all go through hard times. We all go through times when we struggle. And it's hard to pray. And it's hard to read. It's hard to just do what we know God has told us to do. I'm not saying we quit or we've quit on God. I don't think anyone here has done that. I will tell you this, the devil will tempt you to do that. So I'm a deacon in the church. Yeah, he'll tempt you to do that. I'm a pastor. He'll tempt you to do that. The devil's no respecter of persons. The devil wants us all to quit. You do understand that. And I want to tell you about a man in the scripture who wanted to quit. Okay, I believe he wrote Paul and said, Paul, I'd like to bow out. I'm struggling. I'm weak. I don't know what to do. And I think it's time for me, you know, my ministry here is done in Crete. And Paul wrote him back and said, now, Titus, that's not what you need to do. And so I want to preach a message to you, very short message, I think. But I mean it from my heart, as I do every time I preach. If I could keep one person from giving up on God or for quitting on God or for going back on God, it'd be worth it. There's people going back on God. And there's more going to go back on God. And don't you think you can't go back on God. You say, well, I've been saved for, and you can just fill in the blanks. Okay? 10 years, 20 years, 40 years. There's people been saved longer than that going back on God. Some people in church going back on God. Amen. They just, listen, they're just going through a form of godliness and denying the power thereof. It's just become almost like a fundamental ritual to them. Church is just what they do. But there's no real passion. They're tired. Maybe I'm talking to somebody tonight here. You're tired. The devil's got the upper hand on you. And you need some help. Sometimes it's hard to ask for help. We're ashamed. Sometimes we think, well, you know, if I reveal that about myself, people will think differently of me. And I thought about that as I was preaching this morning on our great high priest. I'm glad that Jesus doesn't think differently of us when we're weak. I'm glad that he doesn't. See, you can tell Jesus all of your problems, all of your situations. I'm so glad we can do that. Aren't you so glad that there's someone we can tell everything to? Everything. You say, well, I'm not doing that, preacher. I highly advise you. I counsel you. I even charge you this evening. You need to be telling Jesus everything because he already knows it. It's not going to inform him more. It's going to help you more to tell Jesus all of your trials and your hurts. You need to trust Him with everything. There's some folks sitting under the sound of my voice. You've been jealous and you've been envious of people so long that it's become a way of life to you. There's people that are hurting in their soul and they don't know what to do. They feel like, you know what, I've tried everything. I tried church. I tried talking to this one. I tried counsel with that one. I've tried this and I still hurt. You have to continue. Notice, if you would, in Titus chapter number 1, Paul, as he was writing, he started out, as he does most of his epistles, a servant of God in chapter 1, verse 1, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. I'm glad that God never lies. I'm glad that all the promises of God are so. God has never gone back on one of His promises. Not one of them. You see, as much as I don't want to say this, it's just a fact. I've gone back on some of my promises. And you've gone back on some of yours. But God has never gone back on not even one of His promises. That's why we need to take hold of the promises of God and hold firm to them, brethren. In these days in which we live, these are perilous times. These are perilous times. You look around you and it seems like the world's just spiraling out of control. You begin to look at your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, and you look at the next generation and the generation following that, and you just wonder, if Jesus doesn't come, what lies in store for them? Oh, well, preacher, I'm on the backside of my journey. It doesn't matter. Well, it ought to matter. It ought to matter. See, it matters to me when I get ready to pass the baton that God has given me. It matters to me what I pass on, what I leave. That matters to me. It ought to matter to you. It ought to matter to us. If there's ever a time that we needed to claim the promises of God, they're now. If there's ever a time that we need to know that every word in this book is true. Everything that God said in this book has either come to pass, is coming to pass, or is going to come to pass. Every word in this book is so. I'm settled on that more than ever. How about you?
Amen.
Amen. In a world that is crumbling and falling to pieces, we stand on a foundation that is steadfast and sure.
Amen.
How firm a foundation. Amen. Look at verse 3. But hath in due times manifested His word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. Thank God for preaching. I love preaching. Could I encourage you to fall in love with preaching? You say, well, I am in love. Well, stay in love with preaching. Yeah. Come get it Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You do. You're here. Every time we have special service, listen to it. Listen to good preaching on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Find you a good website, a good podcast, fundamentalistsermons.com. There's a lot of good material out there. Just listen to preaching. Preaching encourages. Preaching exhorts. Preaching convicts. Preaching charges us. Good preaching. It's good. It's good for us. So Paul said, Titus, I'm writing to you. Notice, if you would, in verse number 4, he said, to Titus, mine own son after the common faith. I believe in doing that, it was kind of similar to what we did when we opened up our service here tonight. I believe Paul was going back to the time when Titus got saved in the grace of God. And he remembered the situations surrounding that conversion experience. And he was remembering how far God had brought Titus along. And I believe in his heart, he was just, as he was writing this, he was just rejoicing. My, how God has blessed Titus and how Titus has grown up in the faith and how well he's doing and how God is using him. But there was something that Paul knew. Titus had run into a hard place in his life. Titus had run up against a brick wall. Titus had run into some situations that he didn't know how to deal with because Paul had left him in a hard place. You know some of the people that he was dealing with? Look at what the scripture says. Drop on down, if you would, in verse number 10. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers. These are some of the people that Titus was dealing with. All right? See, not everybody, when you come to church, wants to shake your hand and tell you they love you and how you doing, brother. And, you know, that's not the life of every believer. That's not the life of you. Amen. Not everyone's on your side. Not everyone's for you. Not everyone wants you to be rejoicing in the Lord. Not everyone wants to hear what you have to say about the kingdom and about Jesus. And so Paul understood, and Titus no doubt had written Paul and said, Paul, listen, I think it's about time for me to check out of this place. This is tough. It's tough. Can I tell you, life is tough. It's tough. Somewhere between the Old Testament saints, you know what I'm talking about, those men of God that knew what it was to stand in the face of adversity and to press on, brother. I mean, when Pharaoh said, I'm coming after you, I'm coming after you, they didn't quit, they didn't turn, oh, they bellyache, but Moses said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. See, everybody wants to see the Red Sea part, but there's not many people that want to see the dust of Pharaoh's chariots and hear the thundering herd coming to them to take them out. See, there's an enemy. There'll always be an enemy. There always has been and there always will be. And he wants to take you out. And he wants to take me out. He wants us to quit. He wants to discourage us. He wants to beat us down. He wants to get us into a frame of mind to where we say, oh, what's the use? You say, preacher, I need a Red Sea experience. And God just may give you one. But now before he does, you may see the dust of the thundering herd of Pharaoh's chariots. There may be fear in your heart. That grace that we talked about this morning that comes in the time of need, just in the nick of time, may be what God gives you in the time that you're going through right now. Maybe you're already there and you're wondering, when is the nick of time coming? Because I've been going through this, and preacher, I feel like I'm about ready to go off the precipice. I feel like I'm getting ready to fall, and I feel insecure, and I feel like God needs to do something, and he needs to do it soon. Well, can I tell you, God always does what he needs to do right on time. Always. See, everybody wants to be Elijah, the prophet, right? That stands on Mount Carmel and challenges the prophets of Baal. There's not too many people that want to know what it is to be in the crosshairs of Jezebel and Ahab, the wicked, and confront them, knowing what they possess physically and materially speaking that can come against you with armament to bring you down. And we could go on and on. I think of Stephen. What a man of God Stephen was. Who wouldn't want to look up into the heavens and see the Son of Man standing on the right hand of the throne of God? But there's not too many people who want to preach like him and have them to take up stones. And I mean be cut to the heart, pricked to the heart, to the place where they stoned him to the death. A lot of people like to experience getting caught up into the third heaven. Right? Like Paul, the paradise of God. An out-of-body experience. Boy, I tell you, we're hearing a lot about that, right? An out-of-body experience. What would it be like? But you see, not everybody wants to live like Paul and preach like Paul to get stoned to death and drug outside the city either. So you see, hardships are part of life is what I'm trying to say. Hardships. You're going to have them. I'm going to have them. Hardships, trials, persecution, suffering. It's part of life. And I'll tell you the lie that you have to look for in that, because the devil will lie. He'll tell you you're the only person going through it. No one's suffering like you're suffering. No one's being tempted like you're being tempted. No one. You're the only one. You've got it worse than anyone. But as you look around this church congregation tonight, everybody in here is going through something. I want you to know that. We need to know that. You see, when we understand that, we'll treat people differently. Right? When you understand this person that I'm talking to may be going through the deepest trial of their life, You may handle them a little more gingerly. You may be just a little more kinder to them. You may offer a little further of an extended hand to them. So here's Paul, and he's writing to Titus, and here's what he said. He said, I'm writing to you, Titus, mine own son, after the common fate. He said, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. He said, I'm praying for God to bestow upon you these qualities, these virtues that God can give you to help you through this hard place in your life. Notice what he said here. For this cause left I thee in Crete. He said, God has a purpose for you being there. Don't miss God's purpose. Now I'm going to say something. I want you to listen. Just three simple things here. All right? Number one, Titus needed Crete. You say, well, what do you mean, preacher? I mean that this hard place, Paul understands this is forming Titus. This is making him the man of God that God wanted him to be. My hard places are making me. They have made me and they will continue to make me. Your hard places make you. They will make you and they will continue to make you. I have learned more in the valley than I've learned on the mountaintop combined. God has shown himself so real to me when I was down and when I was discouraged and when I was hurting, when I was grieving, and when I felt like, God, if you don't get involved, I'm going to go down this path. I'm so glad that God did not leave me on my own. God showed himself strong to me. And God will show himself strong to you too. God's not going to leave you. Paul said, Titus, I left you in Crete. And I want you to stay. Now, here's what people do when times get tough. A lot of times people slack off a little bit. They'll lighten up a little bit. Well, you know, it's gotten a little tough. I think we might ought to cut back and maybe just go to Sunday morning service and an occasional Sunday night service. But Sunday school and Wednesday night, you know, this is not the time to slack up. This is the time to get further in. Amen. Listen, if you could just get that tonight, if we could just get this, when the devil starts turning up the heat and when trials intensify, that's not the time to slacken up. That's the time to get deeper in. That's the time to get committed. That's the time to say, God, by your grace, I'm not going to back off. I'm not going to back off. I'm going to keep on. Some people say, well, I'm going to back off. Some people say, well, you know, I think I'm just going to, you know, I'm going to step aside for a while. I'm going to let somebody else get the blessing. No, you need the blessing. Listen to me now. You need the blessing. I've done this X amount of years. I'm going to let someone else get it. Listen to me now. The devil's, he's throwing you a curve. You better listen carefully. You say, preacher, you sound like you know something about this. I'm not ignorant to the devil's devices. He's after me just like he's after you. You understand that, right? You do understand that. You see that person sitting next to you? He's after them. The person sitting in front of you, he's after them. Every person in this church, every Christian is under some form of attack or some form of temptation or some form of trying to tear you down. You understand that? I hope to God you understand this. I fear in my heart that we look around and we say, boy, I tell you, this family's got it made. This family never has trials. This family always seems to be on top. This family seems like they've got it going on. Every person has hard times and hard places in their life. It's just a part of life. Jesus, he made a promise. In this life, ye shall have tribulation. Amen? You say, I don't like that promise. It's a truth that you need to get accustomed to. In this life, John 16:33, write it down. In this life, you shall have tribulation. But he said, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Amen? In other words, you don't have to give in. You don't have to give up. You can just, listen, with God's help, you can go on through. So here's what he said. He said, Titus, in verse number 5, he said, for this cause I left thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things which are wanting, and that thou shouldest ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. I left you with a job to do, Titus, and I expect you to finish it. Can I tell you, God's left me with a job to do, and God's left you with a job to do. God's left us with something to do, with a purpose. And the devil wants to stop us from fulfilling that purpose. He does. You know why? Because the purpose that God has left me to do, there's going to be people that can be affected by the purpose that God has given me that I don't believe that anyone else can affect in the way I could affect them. And the same's true with you. See, God's given you something to do. Do you realize that some people's eternity is at stake in you and I fulfilling our purpose for God? It's important. And I think sometimes we minimize and we think, well, you know, it's the preacher. It's the pastoral staff. It's the deacons. It's the Sunday school teachers. No, it's Christians. It's us. It's every Christian. God has given us a duty. He's given us a purpose. He's given us something to do. He has appointed, notice the wording here in verse number 5, for this cause left I thee in Crete that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting. There's some things that are lacking. And then he said, and that thou shouldest ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. God has appointed us to do some things. And there's some things lacking in the counties in which we represent here. Madison, Orange. I don't think I have to try to convince you of that. But in order for us to carry this out, we've got to understand there's going to be opposition. Everybody's not going to run up and hug us and say, man, we're so glad that Fellowship Baptist Church is down at the end of Gate Road. Man, we can't tell you how happy we are of that. We can't wait till y'all build a big facility across on 29 and enlarge your coast and your ministry. We're just excited about that. There's going to be, listen, you talking about opposition, brother, you need to brace for it. It's coming. It's coming. Why? Because the devil doesn't want us to enlarge our coast. The devil wants to shut this place down. He wants to shut you down. He wants to shut me down. He wants to shut us up. By the grace of God, I'm not shutting up. Amen. Now, those of you who didn't say, man, I know who you are. Hey. I may grow weary. I may take a step out of time. But by the grace of God, I'm not quitting. How about you? Are you made of that stuff? God made me of some different stuff. Now, by the grace of God, I say, and I want to make sure that you understand that, by the grace of God, I'm not going to quit. There's too much at stake. Titus said, Paul, I think I might ought to go join up somewhere else. This Crete, man, these people, they're weird. How weird are they? He said, no, you stay there, Titus. You need some hard places. Some hard places will knock some rough edges off of us. Hard things builds character in our life. Right? So I don't like some of these trials I'm going through, preacher. I don't like some of these temptations. I don't like some of these things I'm going through. You know what it does? It builds character. It teaches us a greater dependence on God. It teaches us that we can't do this in ourselves. You know one of the worst things you can do is serve God in the energy of your flesh? You say, how would you know that, preacher? I've done it. You can serve God in the flesh. It'll wear you out. It'll tear you down. It'll discourage you. It'll make you want to quit. Because God's work was not meant to be done in the flesh, in the energy of the flesh. It was meant to be done in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so he said, no, you stay in Crete. Crete's good for you. So what's the message here? Don't run out when times get hard. Don't quit now. Don't quit when times get hard. You say, well, preacher, I feel like quitting. Let me implore you. Let me charge you. Don't quit. God's got something good for you just down the road. All right? God has something for you. God's going to use this hard place in your life to build some things that a mountaintop won't build. I've told you now, I've learned more in the hard places of my life than I have in all the happy places combined, brethren. Listen, I mean that when I say that. God has been very good to me, but God has allowed me to go through some deep trials. Deep trials. Trials with my children that many of you don't even... Listen, I'm not talking about them being bad. I'm talking about physical. I remember when Michael had to have open-heart surgery when he was 1 year old. And the doctor came in there and told us, they said, listen, this is touch and go. He may die. We've got to take his heart out of his body. We've got to freeze it with protons, and we've got to put a little... Listen, his heart, a one-year-old, it was so small they could put it in the palm of his, right in the middle of the palm of his hand. What'd you do, preacher? I got on my face before God, and I said, God,
I'm begging you, let my son live. Let him live, Lord. Let him live. You say, God, answer your prayer. He's in the service tonight. Amen. Yeah, he let him live. Amen. God hears and answers the prayers of his people. God will come just in the nick of time. Just in the nick of time. I could tell you occasion after occasion. I don't have to tell you. You've been through them. You know God has shown himself faithful to you. Titus forgot about those times. And Titus said, Paul, I'm ready to leave. Paul said, no, you stay. You stay. God's got something he wants to teach you there. So he said, you stay. Titus, you need Crete. And you need the hard places too. Number two, he said, Titus, Crete needs you. You know, Madison doesn't realize how blessed they are. Amen. God's then put a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church right in the midst of Madison County. Amen. Folks still finding out we're here. Bob Good today, he said, man, he said, I was shocked when I ran to that top hill. And he said, boom, there y'all were. He said, I was shocked. I said, we get that all the time. Can I tell you this county, if Jesus tarries, hadn't seen anything yet? Amen. Listen, Madison needs us. You say, well, they don't act like it. They just don't know. Orange County, Culpeper, Greene County needs a good Bible-believing church. They need folks like you, like us, that's going to tell them the truth about Jesus and how to get to heaven. Brethren, how are they going to hear if good Bible-believing Christians do not tell them? Notice what he said in verse number 10. He said, I left you there to appoint some people. And he said, I left you there. He said, so you need Crete. He said, but don't you forget, Crete needs you, Titus. Don't you leave. He said, I feel like quitting, preacher. Don't you leave now. Don't you quit. Well, preacher, I feel like backing up. Don't you back up. What are the people that need to hear the gospel? What are they going to do if we quit telling them? Say, preacher, I've slacked off. I don't witness like I used to. I don't have tracts in my pocket like I used to. I don't confront people about their soul like I used to. I've kind of slacked up. I've kind of let up. Preacher, what could I do? You need to get back on the front line. You need to get some tracts in your pocket. You need to get some grit in your crawl. You need to get some boldness in your heart and start telling people about Jesus again. Because that's why God put this church here. He said, Crete needs you. Not only do you need Crete, but Crete needs you. Look, if you would, in verse number 10. He said, for there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped. Titus, you must stay there. They need you. Somebody's got to tell them the truth. Somebody's got to pull the mask off their eyes. Someone's got to pull the blinds off their eyes and shed the light of the glorious gospel to them. Brethren, we have the truth. We have the truth. We're not talking about Jehovah's Witness or Seventh-day Adventist or work salvation or people who are having out-of-body experiences. Hey, we have the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the power of God and the salvation. That's what changes people's lives. That's what's going to get the job done. We have the truth. He said in verse number 11, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert. You know what that word means? It means warp. They warp whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. They're just peddling a religion. He said in verse number 12, one of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. He said in verse 13, this witness is true. Paul said, oh, when one of the prophets come up to me and said, I tell you right now, it's a filthy bunch. Paul said, amen, brother, I agree with you. And then some. He said, this witness is true. This witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith. So what's he saying? He's saying, yes, you're going through hard places. You're going to experience hard places in life. But don't let that cause you to back up or to let down or to quit on God. God's going to help you through your hard places. I have been through hard places, going through some now. You have been through hard places. There's all kinds of things that try to slow us up and to try to divert our attention and get us off track. But we can't get off track. And if we do, then that's why we come to the house of God. Why? So that we can exhort one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. Right? I think sometimes people think, well, every time I go to church, I want the preacher to exhort me. Well, sometimes God may want you to exhort me. Sometimes God may want you to exhort her. Right? Amen. You never know when God may lay upon your heart to go to somebody and just take them by the hand and say, I want you to know something. Brother, I've been watching, and you look a little downcast. I'm going to pray for you. Is there a specific way I can pray with you? I'm not judging you. I'm not trying to get all up in your business. I just want you to know I've been watching, and I want to pray for you. See, that's when church is good. When you get here and you realize that these people love me. These people love me. God loves me. My preacher loves me. My church family loves me. I need this place. Do you realize you need this place? I hope to God you do. I believe you do because you're here all the time. Every time I look up, you're here. Amen. That's the way it ought to be. You don't come to church on a hit and a miss. You get in church. You serve God. You find your place. You find your purpose. And then you go to work. So he said, Titus, you need Crete. You stay there. You need those hard places. Don't run from your problems, brethren. Can I tell you, they'll be waiting on you when you get where you're going. Somebody say amen now. You can't outrun your problems. You have to face them and deal with them with God's help. You cannot outrun your problems. Say, I think a change of scenery is just going to do me good. Well, it might, a change of scenery might do you good. But let me tell you now, your problems are going to be waiting on you when you get there to that change of scenery. You've got to deal, you must deal with the problems. With God's help, we're more than conquerors. God will help you through. Listen, my grandmother used to tell me, boy, you made your bed, now you're going to sleep in it. You say, preacher, I done got myself in a, boy, I'm in a heap of a mess. Well, now, listen, don't you expect to wake up tomorrow and find a beanstalk outside the window? There are no magic beans now. You got into this thing one step at a time, you're going to get out of it many times one step at a time. Say amen with me. I've done it too now. So there are no magic beans. I'm not talking to you about some kind of magical, whimsical, you know, fantasy. I'm talking to you about real life that God has given us with principle and promises that He'll help us through these situations if we'll commit our way unto the Lord. And He shall sustain thee. Now, the Scripture's always right. Always right. So if you're here tonight and you're going through a hard time, I want to encourage you. God loves you. And He wants to see you through that hard time. And He will bring you through it now. He will. You need to trust Him and then act upon what He tells you as you're in His Word and as you're in that secret place of prayer. God will direct you and guide you right through to where you need to be. Titus, you need Crete. So don't try to duck and dodge and run and hide from the hard places. Stay in there and let God form you now and fashion you and make you a better you. And by the grace of God, I'll do the same. All right? Number two, Titus, just as you need Crete, Crete needs you. There's some people, they need you. These people are all messed up. He said in verse number 16, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. Listen, folks, not everybody that has a Bible and goes to a place that's called a church believes the Bible. You understand that? Well, there's churches all over the place. That means very little these days. That means very little these days. They need you. Let me give you this, and then I'll move on to my final point, and I'll be done. Look, if you would, in chapter number 2. There's two things I want you to underline. But speak thou. You see that? Chapter 2, verse 1. But speak thou. He said, I'm leaving you there to say some things, Titus. You know, can I tell you it's time for God's people to speak up? Speak up. See, we live in an age where liberals are shouting you down. I'm not going to let them liberals shout me down. You say, now, preacher, I think you ought to approach it different. Well, God's given me this way. I don't know which way He's given you. I'm going to speak up. I'm speaking up. I'm not going to let some liberal shout me down. Now, I'm not going to roll up my sleeves and fight them. I don't think. That's not the right approach. I said that in jest. Listen. There is a time to come to arms, and I want to make that very clear, but now, not yet. We pray. We stand firm. Chapter 2, verse 1. We speak up. Speak up. Speak up. Amen. Speak up. We've gotten to the place where liberals are shouting us down and we cower in a corner and we say very little. There's just some time where we ought to stand up and the redeemed of the Lord ought to say so. This is right. This is not right. Amen. Speak up. Titus, he says, speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Tell them. You tell the aged men. You tell the aged women. Teach those younger men. Teach those younger women. Don't be ashamed to tell them. Tell them the truth, Titus. Tell them the truth. The truth is what will set you free. We can't expect change in people if we don't speak up and speak the truth of God's word. God's word will change their heart and change their life. And as long as we sit there and cower in the corner in the break room while they continue to just spew out their poison, not much is going to get done for the glory of God. Now, I'm not saying be confrontational, but I am saying speak up. Speak up. He said, speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Don't go somewhere and say, well, and I'm going to tell you what I think. You think they care what you think? I don't even care what you think. I know they don't care what you think. You tell them, thus saith the Lord. They tell you, well, you know, I believe this. Well, let me tell you what the Bible says. Well, I believe it ought to be this way. Well, God said this. Memorize some scripture. Carry your New Testament in your pocket. And when they begin to go against God's word and they begin to say what they've got to say, open up that book. Break open the King James and tell them what God said. It'll make a difference. I've seen it over and over again, brethren. I've seen it over and over again. I'll never forget, I was preaching a funeral one time. And I mean, I looked out and those people looked like they were ready to, they looked like they was ready to hang me. I'm serious. And I thought, oh my, it wasn't good. But I'm going to tell you what God told me to do. He said, just tell them what I said. Just tell them what I said, son. And I began to quote scripture and scripture. And I watched God melt their hard hearts. Are you listening to me? I've seen it over and over again, brethren. God melt the hard hearts of a people and turn their heart. The heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, and he turneth it whithersoever he willeth. God can change hearts. These old hard, hateful hearts of these folks that are in our world today, I'm here to tell you what I think's not going to change them. The conservative way's not going to change them. The conservative voice is not going to change them. A politician is not going to change them. But God Almighty can change them, and God's word can change them. Don't you ever doubt what God's word can do to an old hard heart. It's like a hammer, amen. It's like a fire. It can do it. He said, now you speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. What do you mean, Paul? He's saying, preach the word, son. You tell them what I said. Amen. But then he said this, look in verse number 7. In all things, show him thyself. He said, don't only speak some things, but show some things. Amen. You got to let your life... you got to let your life back up your lips. You got to let your talk back up your walk. Or you walk, you talk. Is that right? He said, show them. You know, you may not get an opportunity to say something, but you can do a kind act. You can show kindness to them. I think sometimes we think, I'm going to be hateful with that liberal. Well, what are you going to do? Criticize them for being hateful and then you be hateful? That sounds like an eye for an eye to me. Man, they got really quiet in here then. Kindness will go a long way. Well, they wasn't kind to me. Well, the Bible didn't say do unto them as they do unto you. It said do unto them as you would have them do unto you. Love covereth the multitude of sins. I'm preaching to myself right now because I tell you, some of this liberal agenda, I mean, it just rubs me the wrong way. It just does. And I want God to soften my heart, and I want to reach people at the level of their need. And I try to do that by the grace of God, but I haven't always done that. And so he said, Titus, he said, you need Crete. But he said, now Crete needs you. Brethren, can I tell you, this whole world we live in needs Fellowship Baptist Church. And I'm not talking about these walls and the ceiling and the lights. I'm talking about you. The children of God. We're salt. We're light. We're not perfect. Well, most of us. We're not perfect, but we are God's people. And we do have God's message. And God has given us a purpose. And He's left us here for that purpose. So what's happening here? Titus wrote and said, Paul, I think it's about time for me to check out. I've done about all I think I can do here. He said, no, Titus. Oh, no. You stay there. I left you there. You finish what I left you there to do. See, God likes finishers. Say amen. God likes finishers. Let's finish. Let's finish well. And then finally, Titus, you stay in Crete. Crete, you need Crete, Titus. And then he said, Crete needs you. And I could read on down. I'm telling you right now, Crete needed Titus. You know, these communities in which we live, they need us. Those people in whom you work with, they need you. They may not even realize how much they need you. The people that you shop with, that lady who checks you out, ma'am, listen to me, she may not even realize how much she needs you. God sent you to her checkout line because you possess a truth that she needs to hear. Don't disappoint. Give her the truth of the gospel. That person that God crosses your path with at the convenience store or down at the hardware store, sir, listen, they need you. They need the message that we bear. Don't disappoint. Don't disappoint. And then finally, he said, Titus, you need Crete. You going through a hard place? Are you? I told you I am. But God is my helper. This is not the first valley I've been through. Amen. Valleys are no stranger to me. Say, what are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about dry spells. You ever been through a dry spell? I've never been through a dry spell, preacher. Well, God bless you. You're going to go through one. You're going to go through a hard place. Are you listening? A hard place. They're very real. Find God in the hard place. Just like that furnace of fire. When old King Nebuchadnezzar looked in and said, whoa, didn't we throw three? But I see four. And the fourth is likened to the Son of God. God will get in your hard place with you. Now, He will. You need the hard place. You need Crete. Crete needs you. And then finally, God needs you in Crete. We're God's servants. Who's going to tell them, brethren? Who's going to tell them? Look, if you would, over in chapter 3, and this is where we'll close. He said, avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings. Chapter 3, verse 9. Avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. You know, you get out here and you want to talk to people about Jesus and getting to heaven, and they want to talk about Cain and where he got his wife, and I mean, the list could go on. Avoid those things. Just say, ho, tell you what, we'll talk about that after I tell you about Jesus. All right? You know, it's really something. I can't tell you the number of people that want to talk to me about Cain and where he got his wife and how old the earth is and did Adam have, a navel and a belly button. I mean, all these foolish questions that people have. And it's strange that when you pray with them and you deal with them, you give them the gospel, they get saved, they never bring that up again. You know why? Because that's the devil trying to get their mind off track, trying to get you and I off track to where we can get involved in just this right here, strivings and contentions. Because it'll really shut off an opportunity to give the gospel. God needs you. God needs me in Crete. All right? He needs you and I giving the gospel to people in the areas in which we live. So he said, avoid these things. Look at verse 8. A man that is an heretic after the first and second admonition, reject, knowing that he is in such that he as such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. What's he saying? He said, God needs you in Crete. And God wants you out there telling people. And as you're telling people, there comes a time when you have to back off and say, you know what? I'm not going to carry on this conversation with this individual. I've had to walk away from people when I didn't want to. And I've got some people in mind right now on social media. I don't even have any dealings with them. You know why? All they want to do is argue. Can I tell you that as maybe confrontational as I seem to be, I want to argue all the time. I'm busy. I want to get people saved. I want to help people who want help, who need help, not people who just want to argue menial things and just tie up my time trying to argue some pointless thing that means nothing. And can I advise you to do the same? Can I advise you to do the same? When people bait you into an argument, and you know who they are, listen, we all have them in our lives. Say amen. We all have them in our lives. Just the best thing you can do is just unfollow or whatever your way of dealing with social media or even in personal life. Sometimes the best way you can do is say, you know what, I'm going to be your friend, but it's going to be from afar. Because I'm not going to waste my time arguing with you over foolishness. You'll get more done for God, and you'll get more done in your own life. You're going through a hard time. You find yourself in a valley. You're struggling a little bit. I know some are. So how do you know that, preacher? I told you. God always puts the shepherd's hand on the pulse of the sheep. I see it. I sense it. God wants to help you. It's a good place to get help. It really is. But now you've got to open yourself up to it. Let's stand up. Let's stand to our feet. What'd you get from that? I tell you something that I get from it. You can be where God wants you to be and still be down and still want to run and still want to hide and still want to duck out and quit and give up. You think Titus was backslid? I don't think he was. I think he was under a heavy burden. I think he was struggling. And rather than stay in there and fight with it, he said, you know, I think God may want me to move. And so he wrote Paul, and Paul said, no, I don't think that's what God wants. I think you need to stay right where you are and fight the good fight. And let this build character. And learn from these hard lessons. You're going to need them down the road, young man. You're going to need them down the road. Amen. Let's bow our heads together.